From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now. President Obama is calling for international investigators to receive full access to the site in eastern Ukraine where a Malaysian Airlines passenger jet crashed last week. The president also accused pro-Russian separatists in the area of removing evidence and bodies from the site and said that raises the question, in his words, what are they trying to hide? In a few moments, we'll have the view from Moscow.
But first to the view from the crash site. Today, Dutch investigators were allowed to examine the bodies of some of the victims in the nearby town of Torres. That's where the BBC's Olga Ivshina is. But she has also been to the area where the plane went down. And Olga, what can you tell us about the cleanup and recovery effort there at the crash site today?
So 4 days after the tragedy, search operation at the crash site still continues. And today we saw at least 27 bodies being loaded to the truck in order to be transported to here, to the town of Torres, where refrigerating carriages are situated. Most of this work is conducted by emergency specialists, but also by local miners, so people who are not trained for that at all. And I spoke to some of the miners this morning. They told me that they do this instead of their working shift, and some come even after the working shift in order to help. And of course, it's tremendously hard for them psychologically, but they do try their best. And actually, we've seen today how they found one more body.
And who's coordinating this?
Well, it's very hard to say. I mean, there are some emergency specialists who try to coordinate me, but they, in turn, have to listen to rebel leaders who operate at the site. So there is lack of coordination generally, but from day to day, this work is establishing itself better and better. So today, there is much more order at the site.
Although, you know, we hear from your BBC colleague, Natalia Antilava, some of the strange things that are going on there. Let's take a listen to that.
This guy just, he came up to me. This is the second man who came up to me and more documents and a wallet with credit cards. Oh, God, this is actually pretty awful.
Куда это отдать надо?
So people just coming up and bringing items from the deceased to journalists in that case.
Well, yeah. It happened to, I know that it happened to Natalia's team. It happened to some of our teams too. This shows the lack of coordination, that people don't know what to do with their personal belongings and they're afraid to leave them at the site because, I mean, generally the site is not secure. I mean, emergency specialists try to secure the wreckage. However, personal belongings of people are spread over the tremendous distance of, I don't know, 10 kilometers at least. It's bearing in mind that this part of Ukraine is in the status of war. It's really impossible to secure that place and to prevent locals from hanging around. So what miners and people in the local villages do, they just try their best to collect documents of the people in order to handle it somewhere, I don't know, to prevent them being lost at all.
Olga, if you listen to the statements coming out of the Obama administration at this point, it certainly sounds like they're making the case that it was these pro-Russian separatists who shot down this plane. Is that the view of people there on the ground?
No, actually, absolutely not. I spoke to many people today, and I was really impressed because all of them were telling me one and the same version, that the few moments before the plane, they saw the plane falling down from the sky, they've seen a few fighter jets. So all of them told me that they came to their windows because they heard the sound of fighter jets, and they were really scared. That's why they came to see the jets, and they saw that two fighter jets were flying near the plane, and then for some strange reason, I mean, the plane went on fire and fell down. That is their version of the events. They say that they're pretty sure that this is what happened. And for really, that is really strange and surprising to me, but really no one supports the version that the plane was shut down by pro-Russian separatists. And no one I spoke to yet, at least, no one's seen this special BUK complex.
And when you say fighter jets, you're saying that they think it was Ukrainian fighter jets that shot it down?
Yes, they say that these were Ukrainian fighter jets, which were patrolling the site the whole day. And then, I mean, they saw maybe in different jets, but from time to time they appear in the sky. And at that very moment, yes, they believe that these two fighter jets shot the plane down.
Now, as we know, there have been calls for a ceasefire at and around the crash site. What can you tell us about that? Has that happened, or have people stopped fighting?
Yes, in this specific region, in eastern Ukraine, there is no official ceasefire, but the intensity of the fight went down significantly. I mean, just a few days before the crash, the suburbs of Tareas and some small villages here were damaged by shelling. But now it's pretty calm. People on checkpoints are quite relaxed, and I mean, there are quite a lot of people in the streets. It all looks really calm, and we have almost forgotten that the war is going on. However, this morning in Donetsk, the fighting started on again, just reminding us that this is still a very, very dangerous place.
That's the BBC's Olga Ivshina joining us from eastern Ukraine. Olga, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.